Now, please help me welcome our speaker tonight, Zach from York, PA.
Hello, I'm Zach. I'm an alcoholic. Jeff, thanks for having me up here. Jeff was down in York. When was that, March? It was a while ago. But, I know, it's good to be here. Not my favorite thing to do, but I love AA. You know what I mean? This program has given me, it's given me a whole new life. You know what I mean? It's just, it's amazing. And like things, in my experience, you know, as long as I stay active, they just keep getting better. And man, I chase it, you know, because I like it. The steps are kind of outlined to get me to this place where I'm, you know, where I'm finally okay, you know, and because I feel like I have all these qualities, you know what I mean, and I know they're there, and I just, you know, I've just get in the way. My whole life I've gotten in the way of, you know, using them, you know, and being useful to other people, and like this program has allow me to get in touch with this power, God, you know, whatever you want to call it, that, you know, has brought this stuff alive. And, you know, and I've been hooked ever since, you know, I got sober this time. I got a sobriety date. It's February 5th of 13. Home group. It's White Rose Group. Meets Friday nights in York at 8 o'clock. It's a speaker meeting. So if you're ever down in York, any reason, why, but, you know, we got a lot of recovery houses, so if you end up back in rehab, God forbid, you know, you might end up in York. It's crazy, man. It's a little pocket down there. There's like, you know, my buddy says you can't flick a cigarette butt without hitting a new guy, and it's cool because, you know, there's a lot of people to help, but like, you know, no problem with the front door, but a big problem with the back door, you know, and a lot of people stay, and, you know, but I didn't have any plan on staying, you know, when I got there in 2013. But, you know, like I said, my life has continued to change in a positive way. And, you know, things have just gotten so good, I got no reason to leave. So I guess I'll go back a little bit. I don't remember a lot from when I was a kid. You know, I don't have a whole lot of memories. Most of my memories are fear-based, though, you know, and you hear that cliche, whatever, a lot, that, you know, they never felt a part of or different. I don't know if I really felt, like, different, but, like, I was definitely afraid, and my decisions were based on all those things, you know. They were based mainly on fear and, like, what people thought of me, and, you know, I didn't sleep a lot, I remember that, and I was just uncomfortable, you know. And I didn't have any aha moment when I took my first drink, but like, but it was definitely something I chased. And, you know, I played a lot of sports, and I was real active with that. And people, you know, I had a lot of friends, and like, I don't know, I did feel part of, but like, I was also always trying, you know what I mean? I tried to make sure I was friends with everybody, you know what I mean? Because I was just consumed with that fear of what people thought. So, like, you know, I had the jock friends and the punk friends and the hippie friends. And, you know what I mean? I was just all these things. And it was just, it was a lot of work. And, but like I said, man, I started getting drunk in middle school. And, like, and it just progressed into, you know, an everyday thing by high school. And, you know. And all those priorities, you know, that I thought, like, you know, like, I always wanted to be a baseball player, you know. I wasn't good enough to, like, be a baseball player, but, like, I don't know. I had, like, these kind of dreams and stuff, and I don't know, like, things just went downhill fairly quick. My dad passed away when I was 15, and, like, my mom was just a mess, and I, like, you know, I didn't think about it at the time, but I look back on it now, and like, I just took advantage of that situation and did whatever I wanted. You know, and I'd like to think that, like, I thought I was, like, there for my family. Like, I got four younger sisters, and three of them were babies when that happened. And, like, and I thought I was there, you know, like, taking care of everybody and, like, trying. But I was 15, you know what I mean? Like, I didn't, you know, and I had already been drinking for a couple years and, you know, smoking pot every day before school. And like, I look back and, like, I wasn't there, you know, as much as I probably should have been. And I don't know, like, I went through school and, like, got decent grades, and I went to college because I thought that's what I was supposed to do, you know. But, at this point, like, I don't want to be in school, you know. And I ended up just dropping out of college and living there for 5 years, you know, basically wasting 5 years of my life, getting wasted every day. Spent a lot of money that, like, you know, a lot of my parents' money, a lot of money I ended up having to pay back in loans that, like, I don't know, just wasted a lot. And I don't know, like, things just, you know, and at this point, once I, you know, like, it's starting to become very obvious that, like, to everyone else that, like, maybe there's a little bit of an issue. I don't know, it was so much fun for a long time. Like, I didn't really have a lot of consequences until later on. So I didn't really see the problem. And then I started getting in trouble, you know. I picked up some habits that, you know, I couldn't afford. So I started taking everybody else's money and stuff. You know, and I wasn't real good at it, so I got caught. That was the first time I went to rehab. You know, I think I was like 26, you know, and I had been going pretty hard for a few years. And I finally, you know, the law caught up with me, and that was, you know, I didn't really know much about rehab, but, like, people told me that I wouldn't get in trouble if I went, so I went, and I didn't get in trouble. And that's when I first started coming to AA. You know, I got out, and I didn't want to be sober, you know. And I thought I did, you know, and really all I was doing was just buying time to, like, get everybody off my back so I could get loaded like I wanted to, you know what I mean? Because I just didn't see any other way, you know what I mean? At that point, it had been so long that, you know, I just, you know, and the book talks about it, I couldn't see life with or without it, you know. And there was no truth in my life, you know. Like, I couldn't tell the truth to anybody, you know, let alone myself. So I started coming to AA, and I got a temporary sponsor because it was suggested, and it was really only because he smoked weed. He said he got connected higher, you know, with his higher power more spiritually. And I was like, all right, I'm down with that. Like we can do that. Like, that's cool. You know what I mean? But, like, there was, and this is my perception, you know, back then, you know, I didn't think that, you know, it wasn't the AA that I was introduced to when I got sober this time. I used to knock it because I used to, like, think that, like, the reason I didn't stay sober was because these guys, you know, weren't doing AA right, you know. I had a book, but I never opened it, you know what I mean? Like, there was just no step work, you know. I made some coffee, and I went to meetings, and I collected chips, but like I said, you know, I just didn't want to be sober, you know, when it came down to it. I've since gone back to those meetings, and, like, come to find out, like, there's a lot of people that have stayed sober a very long time, and they talk about it, you know what I mean? Like, it's there. It was always there, you know? I just stick my foot in my mouth on that one. But I go back, like, because I go back to where I grew up some, like, every other weekend, you know, on holidays and stuff, see my family, and I go to those meetings sometimes, and there's a lot of good people there that are helping a lot of people, it just goes to show you that, like, I can't, you know, I'm just so blocked, like, and I don't even know it, you know what I mean? But I'm just so blocked that I can't see, I just can't see the truth, you know? Again, there it is. I can't just see it, and even when it's right in front of my face. And so needless to say, I don't stay sober, you know? And then, you know, this starts this period of, you know, getting kicked out of where I'm living. You know what I mean? This constant battle that, you know, I have with my family and girlfriend and friends that are just trying to help me. And, you know, and they're just wondering why I can't stay, you know, why I can't get it. And, you know, why I'm doing the things that I'm doing. And, you know, and I don't have an answer. You know what I mean? Because I know, like, I know that stuff is not right. You know, I don't want to do it, you know, but I, you know, at this point, I just can't stop. And I didn't know what that was. I didn't know what alcoholism was. You know, so I just ripped and ran, and it gets to the point where, you know, I'm finally alone, you know, and nobody's around. And I was like satisfied with that, you know, like, cause I thought that's where, you know, that's what I wanted. You know, I thought I if everyone would just leave me alone, you know, and get off my back and like, and I can get loaded the way I want to get loaded and not, you know, have to deal with all this outside stuff, then I'll be happy. And, you know, I was happy for like the first couple of days. And then the loneliness, you know what I mean? Like it became unbearable. And I couldn't take it. You know, I had, at one point, you know, I had gained a little bit of sobriety enough to pass a piss test and got a job that working at a, you know, at a prison. Come to find out. And, I wasn't a guard or anything, but I put people in the computer when they would come in. And, you know, and I passed the piss test, and then right away, you know, I tried constantly all these different ways, all these different combinations and cocktails and, you know, different things. And, you know, and I was able to like keep that job for a little while, not sober by any means, but like, you know, just getting by. And, until eventually I couldn't, you know, I was just a mess again. And, you know, and these guys could see, you know, that I was doing things that they enjoyed. And, you know, and we got a little business going. And, and apparently they, you know, like that's like very illegal, like very illegal. And they don't. So the news say I got caught, you know, I didn't get caught like red handed, but like I got ratted out and like called into like the investigations, and they knew everything. And, you know, and at that point I definitely could not pass the piss test or, you know, have anyone of authority look through my vehicle or any of the things they wanted to do. So I quit. You know, and at this point, I've been living in my truck for like the past 6 months, bouncing in and out of hotel rooms whenever I got money, barely showing up to work. I don't know how I didn't lose the job before that. I think they were, you know, they said they were watching me. I don't know if that was, they were just trying to like, I don't know, get me to like admit to what I was doing. But like, I was barely showing up and like never on time. And, but anyway, so I lose this job and I don't know what it was, man, but one day I went and got what I needed, and I got loaded, and, something was different. It was different. And, you know, at this point, like, I wasn't, like, suicidal or anything, but I didn't care. Like, I knew I was flirting with death, like, and there have been a couple, like, times where, like, I got scared. You know, I woke up, like, 4 hours later, you know, and it was dark out, and, like, wasn't sure where I was or, you know, what had happened. And, but I just didn't care, you know what I mean? I didn't care if it happened. You know, I'm just consumed with myself at that point. And, I don't know what it was, man. Like, God's grace, moment of clarity. I don't know what you call it, but it was real. And it hit me in the heart, and I called my mom, and I said, I think I'm going to die. I know you don't want to talk to me. She, she answered the phone, and I said, I need help, you know. And she took me back home and, like, took everything and basically locked me in the house until I could get into treatment. And ended up in treatment for the last time, you know, God willing. And and it sucked, you know, because by the time I ended up getting there, I had a clean urine, and I didn't get any of the nice comfort meds that they were offering. And I detoxed, you know, pretty much the whole 28 days I was there. I didn't sleep, you know. But I was busted, and I'd never been broken like that before, and I don't, you know, and I still don't know what it was, but I remember, you know what I mean? Like, and I think we can all kind of relate, you know, whether we all got different paths that we, you know, that get us here, but I don't know, man, that last day seems to be pretty eerily similar with a lot of the people I've met and come across and talked to, and I don't know, I think it's pretty important, you know, and it's unique, and it's cool because it's like, you know, we're uniquely qualified to, like, relate to each other on that level, and I don't know, it's special. But anyway, like, so I was just, you know, at that point, you know, tell me what to do. I don't, you know, I didn't really have any ideas, you know, and they sent me to York. Wasn't my plan. I wanted to go back home and go to, you know, back to AA with some of the friends I had made and, you know, and should give it another shot. But my mom came up for, like, the family day and, like, brought my sister, my brother-in-law, and they pretty much told me how much they hated me and how much of an asshole I was. And she gave me a bar of soap and was like, you're not coming home, you know. I don't know, ever, but not for a long time. And so they sent me to York. You know, I had a trash bag full of clothes, no money, and no idea what a recovery house was. And I ended up there, but, and you know, and these guys, they, like, in my house, man, they, like, I'll be forever indebted to these guys. Like, I don't really see any of them around anymore, but these guys, like, saved my life, man. They, like, they took me under their wing, you know, and like, showed me around and introduced me to people and, like, introduced me to my first sponsor and, like, forced me to get a home group. And I did, man. I just, you know, because they were happy, you know, and they were happy and they were, like, that, you know, they were glowing. And I knew that they were, like, they definitely had something that I wanted, you know, and I didn't really know what it was, but I followed them. And I got busy, you know, I got a spot, and he started taking me through the steps right away, and he started talking a lot about God, which, you know, I don't know, I just, you know, usually pushed, you know, I equated it right to religion, and, you know, I was kind of turned off, and, but I agreed to, like, possibly believe, or, you know, I was pretty open-minded at that point to whatever, so I, you know, I was, all right, you know. And then, when I got to my inventory, you know, I found out that I was, you know, resentful with this God that I didn't even believe in, you know. And I was like, oh shit. And he's like, have you ever been wrong about anything in your life? And I was like, yeah. Come and find out a lot, you know. And he's like, all right, well, maybe you're wrong about this one thing. And I said, all right, you know. And we moved forward, and, you know, I don't know, man, like that resentment dropped pretty much instantly. And, cause I believe this guy, you know what I mean? And it was crazy. Like, I don't know, this guy reminded me a lot of my dad, and I took to him, and, you know, and I believed what he had to say, and, like, I knew he cared, and I don't know, we just got very close, and I ended up, you know, like, my journey started, and things started to change and started getting better, and, like, and I didn't really know what I was doing, but he, like, pushed me into helping people right away, and I had no idea what I was doing, but he helped me, and he guided me, and, you know, and he told me just to share my experience, and, like, you know, and that, you know, that I can't go wrong, and that, you know, it's not about He's like, you're never going to keep anybody sober. You know what I mean? It's not about that. You know what I mean? You're just a vessel. You're just, you know, you just got to show them the way, push them into the actions. And I did, you know, and I ended up, you know, sponsoring a couple guys, and none of them stayed sober. And, you know, and then I, you know, some of the legal stuff finally caught up with me when I tried to make some amends. And, you know, and it's crazy because I've been arrested more sober than I have getting loaded. And hasn't been for a couple years, but, like, I think I got everything pretty much cleaned up. But anyway, I ended up having to go turn myself in on a warrant for some stuff that I'd stolen from a family member who was not too happy to hear from me when I called to make amends. And, you know, a couple days later, my mom called me and said the state troopers were at the house looking for me. And, you know, but, like, I, you know, I'm scared, you know what I mean? I've never actually been, like, a part of jail, you know. I get to leave every time I was there. And, you know, I was scared, you know, but I was, I had this faith, you know, like this, like faith had started to grow that I, you know, it was kind of weird, but like it was there and it was noticeable and I was acknowledging it. So like, you know, I was, had some trust and, I went in there and, you know, turned myself in. I showed up when I said I was going to be there and got in front of a judge and, you know, explained to him, you know, the circumstances that happened and what I was at now. And I think I was maybe 6 or 8 months sober. And he was like, I can tell. He's like, you're not a criminal. I can tell that, you know what I mean? And, you know, and he released me on, bond, and you know, I went through the whole court process, you know, and didn't end up going to jail, and I just owe a lot of money, and which is all right, but you know, but it sucks because that guy still won't talk to me, you know, and we have to have separate Thanksgivings and Christmases and birthdays and stuff, you know, because of me, and it's stressful. It's for my sister, you know, it's my brother-in-law's grandfather, so. You know, and my sister's, you know, she started a family and, you know, so there's like birthdays and stuff all the time. She's about to have twins on Thursday and like, you know, it's just, it's still complicated, but, I don't know, hopefully one day this guy's willing to, you know, talk to me, forgive me, what, you know, at least make it right for her so like that, like she doesn't have to be inconvenienced, you know, but, I don't know, we'll see what happens, like. Everything else has worked out, so I got faith that, like, that area will, too. And I don't know, like, I just start getting all these gifts. And like I said, I'm hooked. And I end up getting a new sponsor. And because mine left and, you know, he got into the recovery house business, and you know, and got a lot of resentment. And had been active in his church and stuff like that and chose to, you know, to go that route. And, you know, so I went sponsorless for a little while, you know, which was not suggested, but it happened. And, I don't know, I didn't do anything stupid, I don't think. But, like, you know, definitely not. I definitely wasn't as effective as I could have been, you know. And I ended up getting up with, you know, the sponsor I have today, and, you know, and he just changed, you know, he didn't really change my opinion, but, like, you know, he had me look at some things in a different way that, that I don't know, I really related to, and that, that I really hold close to, and, you know, he kind of simplified it a little bit for me, and I don't know, I feel like, I don't know if I am, but I feel like, you know, like, I've continued to grow since that point, which I guess is the only, it's just the point, you know, and my really only job, you know, and the book talks about that, you know, like, steps aren't there to get me sober, you know, they're not, that's a byproduct, you know what I mean, the problem's not the alcohol, it's not the drugs, you know, it's me, you know, it's always been me, you know, granted, you know, I don't get loaded like regular people. You know, there's that whole part, but like, you know, he had me look at the reasons why I was getting loaded, you know, and he really emphasized that stuff and not getting so caught up in all the words, you know, but the action, you know, like, what am I doing? You know, who am I helping? You know, 'cause that's the whole point, you know, and it talks about that, you know what I mean? Like in the third step, you know, first couple steps, give us our problem and answer real quick. You know, problem is me and my decision making, you know, and I need to change that to become more effective to help people. And when I do that, you know, God's got my back and he walks me through everything, you know. He's only got one job, you know, and that one job is just to help his kids, you know. And if we're all his kids, then I gotta help everybody whenever I can, you know. And so I got to take some actions to change my decision making. And he talks about this idea of the principles, you know, being absolute, you know, that they don't change and they never will. And they don't care if I believe in them, and they don't care if I understand them, and you know, they are what they are, you know. It's just my job to apply them, you know. And when I do that, I inevitably feel this power, you know. And I make myself more effective. And that's been my experience, you know. When I'm able to do that stuff, and like, finally, like, understand with this, you know, this whole idea of love, you know, and like tapping into that, you know. He said maybe God is just simply this idea of love, and when I apply that idea, you know, I'll inevitably feel God, you know, and I don't have to figure it out. And I don't know, things got easier for me when I stopped trying to figure it out, and I just did it, and I started feeling it, you know what I mean? And like, things, it's crazy, because like I said, that stuff was always there, and I always wanted to make decisions based on principles, I guess. I didn't really know about them, but I knew like what I was doing was not what I should be doing. And I'm not perfect, you know what I mean? Like, and my job isn't to like try to ever be perfect at it, but I got to get better, you know. And the only way I do that is to be accountable, you know. Be accountable to like how I'm living and like and who I'm helping. And and when I can kind of do that stuff, you know, things have gotten better. And you know, and the results they're just undeniable, you know what I mean? Like, I'm finally okay, you know. I think all I ever wanted, you know, that's all I ever really wanted, you know. I can never put words to it, but I just wanted to be okay. I wanted to have purpose. I wanted to have direction. You know, and as a result of like staying active in this program, applying the steps and like trying to grow towards God or towards this idea of God, you know what I mean? Like that stuff, it's the byproduct, you know what I mean? It's what happens. And I don't know, it's crazy. Like it's really difficult to put in the words, and like, I don't know, I feel like I talk about it better when I'm just one-on-one with somebody. Maybe I don't. I don't know. I probably don't. But but that's it. That's the purpose, you know? My purpose is not only to, like, help alcoholics, you know, and do that, but, like, to help everybody. But like I said, man, we're uniquely qualified, and like, there's something very powerful about sitting down with another alcoholic and like sharing experience and talking about how like it doesn't have to be that way anymore, you know. I don't know, I never feel more alive or more free than those experiences, you know. And like I said, where we're at, like, we get a lot of opportunity to do that, you know, and I'm grateful for that. I'm so grateful for that. And And it's really cool. And I've made a lot of, amazing relationships, Me and my buddy Tom, man, we like, thick as thieves, since day one. And I don't know, it's amazing, man. I've seen this guy, from visiting him in rehab to like, to being like a man of integrity, and being useful, He's like, he's going from, because that, that's always going to be my default, I'm always going to be selfish, And a good friend told me, he's like, I can either be selfish out of love or selfish out of fear, And sometimes I don't really know what that means, but like, sometimes it makes a lot of sense. And, and it's this idea of a principles, Like they don't care if I'm having a good day or a bad day, They are what they are, And so I try to tell the truth, 80% of the time maybe, Just far better than where I was at, and I try to like show up when I say I'm going to show up, Like all that stuff you hear, it's real easy to say, but not always easy to do, And I see a lot of people struggle with trying to do that stuff, And, and sometimes I struggle, Because like when I'm not doing that, like I'll fall back into default mode, which is decisions based on self, pride, ego, fear, all these negative attributes that like are still there, but they're but they don't control me like they used to, And I don't know, man, like this is not what I expected, when I got to York or when I went to rehab, My plan was to stop shooting dope and stop drinking and stop destroying my family and, get a job and get some money. And, man, not only that, like, even in the beginning it was just to be sober, but, like, you're selling yourself short if that's all you're getting, There's way more to it than that, If you suffer, like the book talks about, Like there's freedom from that, But like, I got to take the actions, I got, this program is not, it's not about reading, It's not about words, it's about action, And if I'm not taking certain actions on a pretty regular basis, Like things, I'm pushing myself either, back in that reverse direction. And I don't know, it's just not anywhere I want to be. And I don't know, man, I always feel like I start rambling at like 20 off. but man, like, yeah, don't sell yourself short. Like, get out there, we're meant to take care of each other, we just are, and there's something about being a part of that, that, that's free, that's free. And, and like I said, man, I'm hooked, I don't know what tomorrow's going to bring, I don't try to worry about that too much, it's a lot easier, like worry about, like, and it's this idea of staying in the moment, you hear people talk about it, and it's not always easy to do, but, like, it's where I'm effective, and things, I can't change anything I did an hour ago, let alone a month, I can't change anything that's going to happen tomorrow, I just, what am I doing right now, and that's a lot easier to worry about, and focus on, and, it's just easier, man. Like, it's just easier, And I don't fight or even, to drink, to drug, it's whatever, you know. It's non-existent, you know. It doesn't, it's just not there, man. Even on a bad day, you know. Even on a bad day, I'm doing something usually, and that's just so far away, you know what I mean? But I know that, like there's no finish line, you know. It's always going to be there, and I'm always going to be an alcoholic, you know. And I'm all right with that now, you know. I don't think I was for a while, you know what I mean? But if this is what, if this is what's out there, I'm in. Like this. Like I said, man, I've never been more at peace, you know. Like, I sleep at night, you know, and I get to, like, be a part of, like, life now, you know, and it's not, and it's crazy, like, I don't know, get an experience, you know, don't chase an old one, if you've been here, if you've left and you're back, you know, get a new one, you know, but I think that's all I got. I'm going to call my buddy Tom, come up and finish, I think, otherwise I'm just going to ramble.
Zach's a solid 40-minute speaker. That's why he brings me everywhere. My name's Tom O'Neill. I'm an alcoholic. Yeah, he wasn't lying when he said he didn't know what he was doing in the beginning. I was like the first guy he caught. I thought he was brilliant. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know if anybody else has ever gotten a sponsor before, but, like, I get this guy, and, like, we're sitting down and we're talking, and, like, he says all these brilliant things, and I'm like, oh, my God. And then I read the book. I'm like, he don't know shit. He stole all that stuff, you know? And that's the thing, you know what I mean? Everything that happens around us, man, it's not new. You know what I mean? Like, the principles that Zach was talking about, the principles that are brought about, the principles that we're asked to subscribe to, they weren't like things that were created by Bill and Bob 82 years ago, you know? These are things that have been around a long time before that, you know? And when I got to Alcoholics Anonymous, like, the idea of living by principle was not a new idea for me, you know? I was raised with parents who loved and cared about me, and you know, when I got here and I got a sponsor and he was bringing forth ideas like, Tom, we'd like you to tell the truth. I'm like, I know that's the right thing to do, you know. I wanted to be a man of integrity my entire life. I did. You know what I mean? I had great examples of that. I did. I my father and my grandfather and my uncles. And, you know what I mean? These were men that just showed up and did exactly what they said they were going to do all the time, you know. They didn't always do it the way that I thought they should, you know what I mean? But they were always doing it all the time. And that was something that I wanted to be, and I just couldn't, you know, for such a long period of time. And, you know, I thought it was the drink that got in the way of all that. I really did, man. When I landed here, I really thought I had a drinking problem, you know. And I thought I had a Philly problem. I thought I had a Crystal problem, the girl and the other. You know, but I thought if all those problems would go away, man, my life would just get better, you know. And it's crazy. We were talking about this the other day, man, like, we celebrate anniversaries here, right? Like, I don't know if your guys' home group does that, but, like, I don't know, man. Like, do you remember, like, the first day you were sober? Like, I was not celebrating. You know what I mean? Like, there was nothing good about that day. Like, the only thing that had ever worked in my life had been stripped from me, and I had no idea how I was going to move forward and function without it, you know? And honest to God, like, I didn't even know that day was going to be the last day. You know what I mean? If I had known it was, I would have had a way better drink. You know what I mean? Like, I drank some, like, bottom shelf vodka out of like a pretzel container with tea bags in it. You know what I mean? Like, that was my last drink, you know. It should have been like a Cavassier or something. It'd be a much better story. But, you know, I get physically separated from this drink and this drug, and it's not anything that I want to do. And then, like, what really starts to happen is this idea of self, this thing that I couldn't contain my entire life, this thing that ran my entire being is just running rampant, you know. And I don't have words for the other stuff that's going on, but, like, for me, what it looks like is I'm very angry, you know, in the beginning. And when I'm not angry, I'm very funny, you know. And I've got these mechanisms that I put up, all this bravado, which is just a thin veneer that blocks all the fear that's ever run my life, you know. And I think that if I can be this angry guy or this tough guy or this funny guy or anything but me, you'll like me better. Because I got no idea what's going on inside of me, right? And I got no idea how I can get to be something that I even find acceptable, let alone you. And I'm very confused. I landed in Alcoholics Anonymous at 35 years old, and I don't know anything, you know? But I had that. I met with some men who talked about things that I understood. The loneliness, man. I got that. You know what I mean? I'm the kind of dude who's like lonely in a crowded room, but overwhelmed in a room by myself. You know? And I don't know how to deal with those things. And I don't know that it's all right to talk about those things. And that giving up thing at the end, man, I gave up a long time before that, man. It had been decades. You know what I mean? I didn't know I was suffering. I didn't know I wasn't enjoying my drinking until I got stopped and removed and was able to look back with it in a new perspective, right? And I think that's very important because, like, when I got here, I heard people come up to podiums and they said stuff like, I knew I was different from a very young age. I'm like, I had no idea. You know what I mean? Like, how did you know this, you know? And the fact of the matter is, looking back with a new perspective, I have an idea about these things. So if you're new, thank you. Welcome, welcome, welcome if you're new, man. That's what we're here for. And if you're afraid to walk up to somebody and ask them for help, I understand that. I understand that, you know? And if the word God pushes you out of this room, I feel sorry for you because it's not, I'm not here to pull punches, man. I'm not here to lie to anybody. There's got to be a power. That's what we work with here. We work with a power outside of human existence, right? We work with this power, this indefinable power that is greater than anything else out there. And it talks about it in our literature that inside of every man, woman, child is the fundamental idea that that God is real and he exists. It's inside of us, although it may be blocked by, it talks about being blocked by calamity, pomp, and worship of other things. And I got no idea what that stuff means. And I read it 1,000 times before I had an understanding on it. But the way that I understand that today is that if I don't go through with the rest of the process, if I can't acknowledge the fact that there's something more powerful than me and I don't follow through with the rest of the process, those three things are going to continue to keep me from being able to let that power that's inside of me out, which allows me to do the only thing that I ever wanted to do, which is be useful in this world. I'm uniquely qualified, just like Zach said, to sit down and help another alcoholic. It's the only thing I'm qualified to do in this world, and I believe that from the bottom of my heart. I'm given a lot of other gifts that I can use in other circumstances, but the one thing that I am solely qualified to do at any time, you can wake me up out of a dead sleep, as long as I got pants on, I will sit down and talk with another alcoholic. I got rules, you know? But I can sit down and I can open myself up. And that's because I got unblocked from all of those things. That calamity, when I really take a look at it, it's the way that the world had done me wrong, and it looks a lot like the resentment that I carried around for most of my life. The pomp is all that bravado I was talking about. That funny guy, that angry guy, that anger, that fear, all that stuff, man. All that stuff is really just the things that I put up that to block the fear so that you don't know who and what I am and how scared I am to be part of this world around me. And the worship of everything looks like every relationship ever in my life. Whether it be her, 3 or 4 times, drugs, alcohol, the job, the money, the gambling, the work. You know, I can put anything in there. I can worship anything over, as long as it doesn't, so that I don't have to look at what's inside. See, I'd done so many terrible things that I didn't think that I could be forgiven. If I couldn't forgive myself and I couldn't ask you to forgive me, your magical God in the sky, I couldn't have done that at all. And my biggest fear when I got here was that I was going to be the sum result of every action I've ever taken in my entire life. And that even after I did your steps, I was going to be lower than whale poop at the bottom of the ocean. And there was no way to get around that. And when I sat down and I talked with another man who had experience of unblocking those things from himself, he brought a brand new idea to me that I had never even thought of. He said to me this. He said, Tom, what if you start taking different actions? Maybe you'll get different results and you'll be a different person. And I was like, how do I do that? And he said, you already have. See, these principles, when they were brought to me, they weren't brought to me as hurdles, as things that I had to get over, but these guidelines, these guardrails, these things that if I put beside me and I just subscribed to, life was going to get easier on a turn-by-turn basis. And trust me, there's been some turns. And right after that, there were some other turns. But here's the thing, through all the stuff that I've gone through since I've been separated from this drink, once I started taking these actions and putting these principles in the beginning and the front and making it the thing that I measure my life against, these absolute ideas, life has just become easier to live. You know? There's a lot of analogies that you hear from a lot of people, the loose-fitting garment, you know what I mean? Like all of these things and these ideas, I think, fail to express the freedom that I get when I can just live by these principles. When I take the opportunity to sit down with another alcoholic one-on-one and really just open up my heart. See, the way that I equate it today is that what goes on is once all those things get unblocked, there's this like light inside of me, right? And that light gets to shine out. Like it's always been in there. It's just been kind of bouncing around and it makes things real uncomfortable, you know? I unblock these things and that light, that power, this thing that has always been inside of me starts to shine out. The thing about light, if you don't know it, is it only shines into darkness. And what happens is it lands in those dark places. And that's where I always want to be. I want to be at the darkness. I want to be at the bottom, man. Meetings like this are phenomenal. It's a great place to come and meet new people, you know. But I'd much rather be in a prison. I'd rather be in a rehab. I'd rather be sitting in a recovery house. Pretty sure that the place is infested with bed bugs and knowing that God will keep me from taking them back to my house. Swear to God, I haven't brought bed bugs home once. And I've been in some places that have been absolutely infested with them. See, when I'm out there and I'm doing his work, he just keeps me safe and protected. And I get to move freely in the world. You know, I got all kinds of things that have happened to me as a result of following the principles that you guys laid down before me. Because that's what happened. My sponsor never told me what I had to do. He showed me what to do through his actions. And all I did was follow. And I would love to say I did it gracefully at every turn. You know what I mean? But like, I don't, for me in the beginning, like subscribing to these principles is difficult, you know? He would say things like, Tom, we want you to tell the truth. And I went to rehab, so I know you're supposed to ask questions. I'm like, when? He said, all the time. I was like, that seems highly unreasonable, you know? I said, I got fined by 35 years lying. He said, did you really? Maybe not, you know? And then we bring this love and respect forward to other people, you know? Slowly but surely, man, like I'm able to bring this out into all parts of my life. And it's easiest here first, you know what I mean? For whatever reason, because there's that common bond between us, man, I can treat you with love and respect. But when I continue to walk on the path and the journey extends itself and I can start to bring it back to my family and I can start to bring it into my workplace and I can start to bring it out to the rest of the world, man, that's when miracles really start to happen in my life. And they're not things that I ever even knew I wanted, you know? I've been given things that I didn't even know were things that I was looking for. You know, I have a sister. I have two sisters. I only ever talk about one. I know that's messed up, right? But my baby sister, right? She's not disconnected the way that I am. She's just not, you know? I look at it like this. I don't, you know what I mean? I haven't met you in the last 3 years. We're not friends. You know what I mean? If you met me before 3 years ago, you want nothing to do with me. My baby sister, her name is Bonnie O'Neill, she sat down in second grade next to a girl named Bonnie Muir. She said, oh my God, my name's Bonnie. She said, my name's Bonnie too. We should be friends. You know those two girls are still friends today? It's sickening. I know. It's sickening. I was just at, you know what I mean? I was just at my goddaughter's baptism. That's where I was. This little girl, my baby sister, when I'm sitting in a treatment center, comes to me and tells me that when she was 8 years old, she used to have to hide in a bathtub from me because I would come home and I was so drunk and violent, she didn't know what I was going to do. I'm 5 years older than her. That was 13. I didn't get sober till I was 35. I started doing damage inside of my family at a very young age. But the thing about it is, like, my family's not disconnected the way that I am, so they have this ability for unconditional love at every turn. And a couple of weeks ago, me and my dear friend went down to a church in Philadelphia, and he and my family watched me stand up and promise to be the guiding source of principles in my niece's life. The same girl that hid in a bathtub from me when she was 8 years old asked me to stand up and in front of my family and her closest friends and say that I would guide her daughter through her life. I'm not capable of that. Watching you guys tap into this power and live by these principles gave me just enough faith in the beginning to think that it might be possible for me too. And when I buy in just that little tiny bit in the beginning and I start putting these principles in my own life, then I get an opportunity to receive these gifts that I never even knew I wanted. Some of that stuff might sound hokey, you know? And it did to me when I first got here. World beyond my wildest dreams. I'm like, you live in New York. You know what I mean? Here's the fact of the matter. My wildest dream when I got here was that I wanted to learn how to, I wanted to be able to kill myself without hurting my mom. That was my wildest dream. I have not thought about harming myself. I'd like to say other people, but that's not 100% true. I've not thought about harming myself, taking a drink, getting loaded, in over three years. What they told me was that if I wanted what they had, and I didn't know what they had, I had to do what they did. And I didn't know what that was either. The more I followed them around, the more I realized what they had, and I definitely wanted some. So I continued to do what they did. The only promise that I was made when I came here, when I walked through the door, was that if I took these steps and I put these principles in my life, I would never have to drink again, and I wouldn't have to feel the way that I felt when I walked in the door. Everything else has been carte blanche. Zach touched on it a couple times. Sobriety is the byproduct of the steps. Being tapped into this power and connected to the world around me and finding a way to be useful and purposeful in the world is the gift that you guys have given me. And for that, I'll be eternally grateful. Thanks for letting me share.